Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? You're listening to Around the World with Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more on Around the World with Dan Perry. Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm coming at you from Krasnoyarsk in Russia. Boy, the last week has been eventful, let's say. There's been a lot of ups and a few downs, and I'm going to talk about that. There's not going to be a guest today, but I think I'll have plenty to talk about. Thank you very much for tuning in. I really appreciate all of your support. If you have a few seconds, I'd really love it if you'd go tell a friend about the show. And you know what I'd love even more? If you could give me a rating on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. But I'm guessing most of you get your download your podcasts right from the iTunes store. All right, let's get into the last week. Where I left off, we were in Suzdal, a little town just a couple hours east of Moscow. We really had just begun our Trans-Siberian train trip. And this week we made a long journey. So first we took a bus from Suzdal to Vladimir, which is a bigger town on the Golden Ring of Moscow. Again, about 2 hours east of the city, still in the same kind of zone or district as the capital of Russia. And with plans to head east, we had a 21-hour train ride that we were looking forward to. We're going to go to Yekaterinburg, which is on the border between Europe and Asia in the Ural Mountains. Once again, we had a second-class train for this trip. We're finding out that second-class trains in Russia, what that means is you get your own room, you get four beds stacked too high, and there's a door that closes. And the beds are pretty soft, pretty nice. This is more or less the equivalent of the highest class in China, the soft sleeper. First class must be like really awesome, but it's a lot more money. Apparently, you're price-wise at least, you're better off just buying all four beds in a second class compartment than getting a first class one. There's a huge difference. This train was a little older than the one we took to Moscow, but still pretty nice. Not so bad. There was one other guy on the train with us. He was around 60 years old. He had a short salt and pepper hair. He looked a bit like William Shatner, actually. He had a little bit of a gut on him, not super fat though. And he seemed pretty friendly when we first met him. And he did this thing that I found that this is what you do when you're in a country where you don't speak the language and you don't even know how to say "my name is." He tapped on his chest a couple times and he introduced himself as Nikolai. And so I tapped my chest and I said, "I'm Dan," or I think Danielle, it works in Russian. And then Katie tapped her chest and said, "Katarina," for Katie. So we were quickly becoming friends. And soon after the train left, Nikolai left. I don't know where he went. But as we were getting everything all set up for our 21-hour ride, we were there probably, I think we left at about 8 o'clock at night. A train employee came in, and she had with her a bunch of stuff. And I looked down from the top bed, and she looked up at me and smiled and kind of nodded her head toward the stuff. And I was like, "Oh, cool, a gift for us passengers?" Because, you know, the last train they had given us some slippers and a towel and stuff. And I thought, "Oh, cool, they're going to give us a little trinket." And she said, yeah. Little did I know, she didn't know any English. She didn't realize what I was saying. And she kind of went through all the stuff. There were some magnets and some glasses that were like a normal glass that you could set inside of a metal container that looked kind of like traditional Russian style. And there was also a pocket knife. And I went, oh, okay, I'll take the pocket knife. That looks cool. And I could use one of those. I don't have one. And she gave it to me. And then she said something that I didn't understand. Then she wrote on a piece of paper, 500. So she wanted 500 rubles for this knife, which is like $8. Still not a lot of money, but I had thought she was just going to give it to me for free. And so that was a bit of a misunderstanding. And so I was like, no, I don't really want it. Too much money. And then she said, doroga. And I realized that doroga must mean expensive. So that's how I'm learning Russian. And then she looked at the cup, pointed at the cup, and she said, 1,100 rubles. And then she even said, doroga. This one is doroga. I'm like, yeah, I don't want that one. And then she pointed at the magnets, and they were magnets with a little train on it or something. And also there was a stuffed animal, a bear or something like that, with a train logo. And she said, niet doroga, niet doroga. These are only 150 rubles or whatever. And I was like, oh man, I really don't want to buy anything. Not only do I not want to spend money, but also I don't really have room to carry this stuff in my pack. I mean, I've got a little space, but I don't want to end up carrying little trinkets for months at a time. I've made that mistake before. I end up putting it in a box somewhere at home and never seeing it again anyway. It doesn't really matter. So she seemed really disappointed, unfortunately, that I wasn't going to buy any of her doroga stuff. But eventually she took off. And almost as soon as she left, Nikolai came back. And he had three of the doroga cups with him. And he just set them down. I was like, huh, he bought three of those things? They're like, you know, like $17 each for a glass. That's kind of, I'm assuming he bought them. Maybe there's possible to rent them. I'm not sure. Seemed like a lot of money to spend though on some glasses. Anyway, then we were continuing to move, and Nikolai was taking a little nap in his bed, and I thought he was just kind of out for the night. But then all of a sudden he got up and he looked down at me and he said, drink. And I was like, drink? What do you mean? And then he said, Ruski schnapps. I was like, Ruski schnapps? Like, what is I'm so ignorant. I don't even know what schnapps is. Is that the same thing as vodka? I'm not real sure about that. Already, we're getting in there. I was getting myself into this situation that I didn't want to be in. And I was kind of afraid of that I'd get on these long trains and I'd meet these middle-aged Russian dudes who drink like fish and want me to drink, and there's no way I'll ever be able to keep up with them because I don't drink that much. And here it was happening to me. But on the other hand, we had all night, we had all the next day to work off a hangover or whatever. So I said, you know what, why not? Let's drink some Ruski schnapps. And so I pinched my fingers together to make a gesture that I only wanted a little bit. And then he turned to Katie and he said, Ruski schnapps. And she did the same thing, like, okay, just a little bit. So he poured the Ruski schnapps into the three doroga glasses, which now I figured out is why he got those glasses. Luckily, he just had a 200cc bottle of, I think it was vodka. I don't know if there's even a difference. It wasn't a huge bottle, at least. And so even just from three little shots, well, he took a much bigger pull than me. We went through over half the bottle already. So I was like, oh, all right, this isn't so bad. So before this had even happened, we had already established that we didn't have a language in common, but Nikolai spoke a little bit of German, and Katie also speaks, or at least understands, a little bit of German because she used to live there. And so Nikolai held up his glass and he said, Prost, which of course is German for cheers. And we clinked glasses and sent it down. And man, it tasted awful. My stomach was burning. My throat was burning. Luckily, Katie was prepared for this occasion, and she cut up an orange, and I sucked on that for a bit to make the horrible taste go away. Nikolai got out a tomato and a cucumber, which I was wondering if there was more to Nikolai than meets the eye. Maybe he was a gardener as well. Or maybe these were just in season and he bought them at the market. Who knows? But we shared these, and Katie got out the the pecans that we had for snacks for later, and we started snacking on those. And of course, about 10 minutes later, Nikolai said, "Drink Russki Schnapps." He might have even said vodka at that point. I forget. We're like, we're not going to leave this bottle half empty. Might as well finish it. All right, so we poured another drink. And now most of the bottle was gone. I think he might have even poured the last few drops into his own glass. And we clinked glasses again and drank. And sucked on more oranges, ate more cucumbers. And we started just laughing. And I realized, when you don't really have any words to say, you just communicate, obviously with hand gestures, but then you just tend to laugh a lot. And he would say some stuff to us, and we'd go, "Ha ha ha, that's so funny, we have no idea what you're saying." And we'd say some things to him, and he would do the same. And somehow we were becoming friends, just like that. It was very bizarre. Katie offered him some beer because she had bought a can or two of beer for the trip. And he made this like mixing gesture with his hands. And then he made like a sick kind of gesture, like choking. And I realized he was telling us beer before liquor, never been sicker, which is hilarious. That actually translates between languages. So he refused to drink the beer. Katie was a little sad about that because now she had to drink the beer. And Nikolai said to us, "Russki Schnapps, good." And I said, "Yes, da, Russki Schnapps, good." And then he said to me, "Daniel, good." And I said, "Nikolai, good." And he said, "Amerikanski, good." And I said, "Russki, good." And then he said, "Trump." And Katie like looked at me and she made a frowning noise and she was about to say something. And I was like, whoa, kind of, wait a minute. I don't know. In this scenario, maybe Trump is actually good. And so I thought, okay, I have to change the subject somehow. How do I do it? Drink Russki Schnapps. And so luckily Nikolai had another bottle with him. And he opened this bottle, and we started drinking that bottle. And before you know it, that bottle was gone. And I was really, really hoping he didn't have any more at that point, because I was, I was a little tipsy at that point, and I had had plenty. I didn't want to get hammered on this train and have to deal with it all night and the next day. Luckily, it was getting a little late. We weren't drinking really fast, and things turned out just awesome. We had such a fantastic night meeting our new friend, Nikolai, and drinking with him. And I realized, a lot of people make bucket lists. And the first things they tend to put down are famous places. Like, oh, before I die, I want to go see the Eiffel Tower. And later on, they might put down things like adventurous stuff. Like, I want to go skydiving. I want to go whitewater rafting. This kind of cool stuff. But as I've grown more accustomed to travel, say, well-versed, I've thought more about this. And I think a lot of it is just meeting the people is the really big, awesome, amazing experiences. And one thing, if you have not done this, that I really think you need to do to add to your bucket list is you got to take the Trans-Siberian train and you got to get drunk with a Russian guy. It's a lot of fun. Make sure you don't speak any Russian because it makes it even funnier and more entertaining when you have no clue what you're talking about. And you're left with the basics. You're stripped of all of your identity when you have no language to use. You can't make any kind of strong opinions be known. All you are is just a couple of people getting drunk. And really, at that moment, that's all that matters. Nothing else matters in this world when you're on that Trans-Siberian train drinking Russki Schnapps with Nikolai and Katarina and Daniel. We spent the whole next day on the train, and we were still deep in the forest. There were a lot of pine trees. There were a lot of birch trees. Little towns in between. And this is what it's all about, just riding this train, just taking in the scenery, chatting every now and then, reading a book, relaxing. You can walk around on trains too. You can stretch. It's not like a bus. It's not like an airplane. It's my favorite form of travel, at least one that requires an engine, by far, hands down. So I was really, really excited to be on maybe the longest train journey in the world. If it's not, it's at least one of the most famous and one of the most exciting, for me at least, one of the ones I've been looking forward to more than any other. Time kind of slows down when you're on a long train journey with not much to do but look out the window and perhaps read a book. The hours seem to go slow, but all of a sudden the day is over and you don't even know what the hell happened with your day. But that's all right. There was one issue, though, at the end of the day. We were supposed to get in at 6 o'clock to Yekaterinburg, 6 p.m. At least that's what our ticket said. Well, 6 came and went, and we still weren't there. And we really didn't have anyone that we could ask in English what was going on. I just kind of assumed the train was late. Like, whatever, who cares? Well, 6:30 came and 7 o'clock. And we figured out from Nikolai, actually, later on, that actually what was happening is the train tickets in Russia are all listed for Moscow time. Every time is what time it is in Moscow. And Yekaterinburg is 2 hours ahead of Moscow, so we wouldn't be getting in until 8. Well, that was a little annoying, but because the train lasted actually 2 hours longer than I thought it would. But it wasn't a huge deal. I just figured we'd have to pay more attention to this later on. So we got in at 8 to Yekaterinburg. Like I said, it's in the Ural Mountains on the border between Europe and Asia. Although the area didn't seem mountainous at all. It seemed really flat, which was rather interesting. Katie and I walked across town. We found a hostel. Hostel was really awesome. It was right on the river. And there's just some little touches that hostels sometimes have. This place let us do our laundry there, no problem. They even provided us with soap. We were able to get cleaned up and feel really refreshed for the next few days. And we started to plan what we were going to do in Yekaterinburg. We wanted to go hiking. There was supposed to be some really good hiking in the area. We had about 3 days left before we would have to take off. Oh, and we looked at our tickets, and so the next day we had free, all day free. The next day we had all day free. The next day after that, our ticket said 2016 is when we were supposed to leave, so 8:16 p.m. But because of this time difference thing, it was going to be 6:16 p.m., and so we'd have to leave from our hostel, start walking away at maybe like 4:30. Okay, so we had a couple days to play with. I looked up hiking in the area, and I was really surprised that I couldn't find too much. There's plenty to do 4 or 5 hours away, but nothing that's really close to the city. I was really not expecting this, but I guess this is one of the downsides of not really planning a trip out. We kind of just bought our train tickets, and we're just hoping for the best. We already had all of our train tickets all the way across Russia because we really didn't want to buy them at the last minute, just in case that they were sold out or whatever. And we maybe some of these journeys, there's probably only one train a day that will really get us there. Katie was communicating with this couch surfer guy, and he recommended a little village called Bazhukovo in this natural park called Oleni Ruchi. And that was only a few hours away from Yekaterinburg, so we decided that we'd go for it. And the next day, the manager of the hostel was there, and she spoke a little bit of English, enough to communicate that, yes, indeed, we could probably get there that day. There was a train leaving from Yekaterinburg at 3 p.m., and we could take that, not all the way to the park, though, only to some little village. And from there, we'd have to figure out the rest, which we were okay with. That's part of the adventure. So we left our hostel at about noon, went to a grocery store, and Katie bought some food for us for the next few days. And from there, we walked to the train station. Now, we went to the ticket window to buy tickets, waited in line for about 10 minutes. And then the employee in the ticket line, as soon as we got up to her, just shut the window on us. I'm like, oh, crap. That sucks. Apparently she was off to lunch or something. So we went to the next window, waited in line. Russians love waiting in line. That's one thing we found out. They can't get enough of it. And once we got up to the front, we told her Bazhukovo, and I had it written on my phone so she could read it. And she kind of looked at me like, no, and pointed down. And then I realized, oh, well, we're in the wrong line. So the area we were in, there was a sign that said long distance trains. And this ride was a couple hours, this train ride. Is that considered long distance? I don't know. Maybe the subway is a local train and a 2-hour ride is long distance. Or maybe, as we found out is actually the case, 2 hours is not long distance and it's actually a local train and you have to go to a different line for local trains. And there's very little signage in English in this train station or anywhere we've been so far in Russia. So our guess was as good as any, and we guessed wrong this time. So we went to the right line. Luckily, we were able to get a ticket right away, no problem. Went, and we still had about an hour before our train left. So we grabbed a seat in the waiting room, and there was one more important task that we needed to do before we could go hiking for a couple days, and that was buying fuel. So I figured I just had enough time to run out and fill my bottle with gasoline and then run back. So I found a couple of gas stations on my phone and hiked to one of them nearby the train station. And I was really hoping it would be a self-service pump so that I could just fill it and no questions asked. I mean, that's what I did in Iceland. That's what I did in Finland. Normally, it's like, whatever, I don't care if it's full service. But in China, it's absolutely impossible to buy gasoline if you don't have a car or a motorcycle to put the gasoline in. They will not sell you gasoline in just a normal bottle, even if it's a fuel bottle. And I was hoping that wouldn't be the case in Russia. Well, I got up to the gas station, and indeed it was full service only. So I got in line behind some cars, walked up with my bottle, and the guy looked at it, and I could tell he didn't mind putting fuel in right away. So that was a really good sign. He was confused about how much, and I really didn't want him to overflow this thing with gasoline. So I tried to communicate like 800 milliliters, but I have no idea how to say the numbers. And then he said something that sounded like 30, and I realized he meant 30 rubles, which is like 50 cents. I went, oh yeah, okay, yeah, 50 cents is good. And of course, I always draw a lot of attention when I do this, so his friend had to come over and like help him out. And so it took two guys to pump about 2/3 of a liter into my fuel bottle while I held it there. So it took actually three people to do this for 50 cents worth of fuel. So that's just how it works in some parts of the world. It was all right though. These guys were nice to me and I just had to run in and pay quick, which is just pretty laughable actually. Then ran out, grabbed my fuel bottle, ran back to the train station. Okay, we were all set. We still needed to buy some water, but whatever, we could get that anywhere. Now we had to find our train. So we went down, the train was about to leave, was going to leave in like 20 minutes. We went down to the area where you can run out to the train tracks. We found what in an airport they might call this the flight board, where that shows all the flights. They have something similar in train stations here. So showed all the trains leaving, and the ones that were about to leave in like 5 minutes, they all had platforms listed, or there were two numbers. We didn't really know what these numbers meant. Our train didn't have a number, and we're like, crap, well, we can't just walk out to the platforms because there's like 20 platforms and we have to know which one to walk to. And then I looked around and all kinds of other people were also looking at this board, and I realized they're probably all on the same train as us. So as soon as the number pops up, all we have to do is follow these people. And even though there's two numbers and we don't know which means platform and which means some random thing, that it's actually quite a simple solution. And I thought about it, I realized, you know, the whole world is just it's a puzzle. And getting around in different countries and different languages, different systems of transportation, it's all one giant puzzle. And the cool thing about it is it's solvable. It might be difficult, but you can do it, even with no experience at all. And you just have to have a good head on your shoulders, and you have to use some logic. So we realized we didn't need to look at the platform number at all. Let's just follow the people. So we did that, got up to our train, no problem. And I love it. I love that feeling of solving these kind of problems. And sorry if this kind of sounds rambling here, but it's a cool part of travel when you figure out how to get somewhere. So the train came. It was so hot in the train that we were pretty much forced to sleep the whole time. A couple hours later, it dropped us off. It's some really shitty little town with all these old houses, real communist era kind of looking place. Walked off the train. We tried to communicate Bajukovo, this town we wanted to get to, that we still weren't there, to an employee of the train station. She just pointed outside. Now here's the next kind of logic puzzle that you have to figure out. Is she pointing outside just to get rid of us, or does she actually know that there's another train out there, or what does she really mean? Who knows? So we walked outside, and indeed there was another train there, and the doors were open, and we're like, cool, this must be our train. But before we got on, we asked these three guys who were standing outside talking about Zhukovo, and I showed them my phone again, and they just started laughing and like eventually pointed at this footbridge that went over the tracks, and we're like, okay, so did they know what they're talking about or not? Or are they just sending us even further afield on a wild goose chase? Who knows? Sometimes your luck runs out in these cases. And of course, the people we were seeing in this little shitty little town, they were a lot rougher around the edges than the city folk we had been meeting. Not necessarily that eager to talk to foreigners. And so in some cases, eager to laugh at them, think they're just hilarious, whatever. So we walked up the footbridge, found what looked to be a bus stop. Katie went in to buy water. I showed my phone to yet another person, and she pointed at a bus coming our way. And it looked like that bus was not going there, but it was going, well, somewhere. So we hopped on the bus and we went to the next shitty little town. And then that bus dropped us off at another bus station. And from there, I went in and talked to a lady selling tickets. And she said, Bajukovo, okay. And she gave us tickets to another bus that didn't go to Bajukovo, but went to another town past there. So we could get out like halfway there. Okay, things were starting to work out now. We got on this bus... I communicated to the driver where we wanted to go, and to my delight and amazement, the driver actually stopped on this little crossroad that we had to walk down and dropped us off and continued down the road. And we were like, yes, we were actually able to get there. This is awesome. We're heading to this nature park, and we still have over an hour of daylight left. Cool. So we walked in down this long road into this park. Got up to the entrance. There was a guy there, this old guy who was selling tickets into the park, and the tickets were like $3. So we paid that. And then he said, Maloka to us. And we're like, Maloka, what's that mean? And he put his fingers on his head to make horns and went like, rah, rah. We're like, oh, maybe he means some sort of animal. Maybe it's a cow. Maybe it's, maybe it's a moose, yeah, who knows, deer. And then I went, Maloka, oh, I bet that means milk. And I remembered seeing these bottles of, well, a milky white substance sitting outside. And he wrote down 80 on the piece of paper. And I realized he was trying to sell us this milk for 80 rubles. And I was like, oh, yeah, why not? We'll try it. So I bought a bottle of random animal mammal milk. And opened it. It smelled pretty fresh. I drank a bit. Indeed, it tasted like milk. I still wasn't sure what animal it was coming from, but whatever. And then he gave us a map of the park, and we walked in, past some houses, down this trail. There was like no one in this park at all. So we kind of had free rein of the place. We were really happy to be walking through a forest finally, away from cities for a little while, away from civilization. We ended up getting to this shelter area overlooking a river and decided to set up camp there. It was getting dark, and we just had to put our heads down for the night. So we cooked dinner in the shelter, and we weren't really sure if there were any bears or any dangerous animals in this area. I guess we should have looked this up, but just as a precaution, we put all our food in dry bags and hung it up so animals couldn't get at it, and then went to bed. I slept really well that night. There was almost no noise in the forest. I was beginning to wonder if they had killed all their wild animals already. So maybe this milk actually was from a cow and not from some random deer thing that the rah, rah, with the horns, who knows. But I drank a bunch of it raw or not cooked, and then we threw most of the rest of it in our oatmeal the next morning and boiled it. And then we took off walking, and we had about a 15-kilometer loop to do. That was the extent of this park, but it was really peaceful. We forded a river. There was no bridge, and we were way in the back of the park, no one to be seen. We stopped at the river at one point, went for a swim. We took a long break and napped. In the middle of the day, we were taking a break, and we ran into our first people. There were these two middle-aged women, and they had short hair, and they were just like bouncing around and laughing. And one of them took out a thermos of hot tea and gave us both a cup of tea. And they just kind of popped out of nowhere in the forest. And I was like, are these pixies or fairies or what's going on here? Maybe they're human. And they didn't speak any English and we didn't speak any Russian, but we communicated a few things and they trotted away. And it's a really bizarre thing when two middle-aged women hop out of the forest and offer you tea, especially when you haven't seen anyone all day. But I'm pretty sure we weren't hallucinating. I think they were real. Anyway, we continued our hike. We actually completed the whole loop around the whole park, this 15-kilometer loop, and then went back down to the river where we had forded it earlier in the day, set up camp again. Kind of just repeated the same experience of last night, hanging up our food just to make sure, cooking a big dinner. This night, Katie made us buckwheat with vegetables and some sauce in it, but she made way too much, so a lot of it went uneaten, and we put it away for the next day. We had long since finished our milk, though, so we were down to just water, and then we ended up filtering water from the river for most of the day. And you'll understand why I'm telling you this stuff in a few minutes. So that was a really awesome, relaxing day. We got up the next day at dawn. The tent was soaking wet from dew, so we dried it out as best we could, but it was really foggy. The air was just real thick with moisture, so there was no way we could get everything completely dry. We'd have to do that once we got to the city. Oh, I forgot to mention, when we were hiking, it was beautiful. The weather was perfect. It was warm. It was sunny. And it was the first real nice day we had had in Russia, honestly, every day until that point. And we had been in Russia for probably 10 or 11 days before that point. Every single day it had rained. And I just thought that was all it did in Russia was rain, rain, rain. Well, now we had a perfect day. And now we had another perfect day once the fog cleared. We hiked to the exit of the park, and at this point, there were tour buses coming in. So we grabbed a quick bite to eat at a little cafe and headed back to the road. And tour bus after tour bus rolled into the park. There were also a lot of regular cars coming in. And so it was a Saturday, and we realized we had gotten to this park just at the right time because it was completely empty when we were hiking the previous day on Friday, and now it was going to be packed. So we had a short walk back to the main road. Just before we reached the road, a bus passed us on the highway. And I noticed the sign in the bus that said Yekaterinburg, but it flew by us and I was like, there's no way it's going to stop. So I didn't even bother trying to flag it down. We weren't quite there yet to the road, but it stopped. And I looked and turned around and Katie was running toward me from behind. I was like, okay, let's go for it. Maybe we can make it. And we jogged up, and the bus driver actually waited for us. And the bus was going all the way back to Yekaterinburg. So it had taken us like 3 or 4 buses plus a long train ride to get to the park. It was only going to take us one bus to get back. This is really exciting. We got on the bus and it was almost empty. Sat in the back, put up our backpacks on the seats. And two of the only people on board kept talking to each other and looking back at us. And we knew they were talking about us somehow. We weren't sure if it was good or bad, though. And then the lady said something like, "Where are you from?" And we started chatting. And I went up to talk to them while Katie stayed in the back. And the lady spoke maybe 50 to 100 words of English, very little. And we were just having a nice little conversation. And I showed them on my phone where we were from. And we talked about living in China a little bit. We talked about Russia a little bit. And since the guy didn't speak any English at all, he was the lady translated for him. And at one point, he started saying, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what he was saying, but blah, 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 blah. Trump is all I heard. And then blah, 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 Putin. And I was like, huh, crap. And I couldn't just say, drink Ruski vodka. I couldn't do that. So I just listened. As soon as, she started translating it. Before she was even done, I just shrugged my shoulders and said, hiking, camping, forest. Those are the things that matter to us. We're not going to get into politics here, whatever. And they both just laughed it off. And I think I could see what was happening. The guy looked at me and he said, "Oh, I know what this is. I know what's going on here. This guy's a human being. And I'm a human being. And we're just people. And we're just chatting. And that's all that really matters here." And I think that's what travel really does. People talk about travel in terms of places a lot of the time, in terms of the sights they see. And once again, I'm returning to the people. And this is becoming, as I get older, the most important part of travel is just meeting the people. And for me, a huge part of it is understanding that wherever you go, people are just people. We're all the same, more or less. I mean, yeah, we've got our differences, but we're all human beings. Most of us want what's good for the world. We might have different ideas of how to achieve that, but most people are good. And this is a vital lesson in travel. When you're at home watching the news, they're going to tell you something about a country. But I mean, I said this kind of the same thing last week, but they've got the news has a narrative to fulfill. And they're not going to give you a full picture of what's going on in a place. And maybe travel doesn't give you the full picture either, but it gives you a hell of a lot more information than you'd get from watching the news. And I'm telling you, you just go somewhere and you meet the people and you're like, man, these people are nothing at all like I've been told my whole life by the media, by other people who have never been to the country that I'm talking about. I shouldn't even need to say this, but the best way to find out what a country is really like from your own point of view is to just go there and see it. You've got to do it. You got to go there by yourself or for yourself. Don't just go to the places you have a really strong, good opinion about. Go to the bad ones too, whatever. Go everywhere. Go all over the world. See it all. You'll thank me later. Go get drunk with Russians on Trans-Siberian trains. It's a worthwhile experience. And so a few hours later, we made it back to our hostel in Yekaterinburg. We had that night to spend in our hostel, and then the next morning we're going to leave on our next train journey. So we still had several hours of daylight left, a lot of wet gear from the morning dew. So I took out the tent and aired it out outside. And we once again did another load of laundry, which is awesome. I love that feeling of having a fresh, all of my clothes being fresh and clean. It's like a new beginning for me. We napped a bit and then we went out to get lunch or to get dinner. And we had two breakfasts basically and no lunch. So it had been a really long time since we had eaten and I was just starving. So before, and Katie wasn't that hungry. So before we left, she reheated the buckwheat from the previous night for me, and so I ate that. So we went out and we walked along the main river in town. Again, it was a very warm afternoon for, I guess Yekaterinburg's considered Siberia. I'm not really sure, but whatever. It's a pretty high latitude city. I don't imagine it gets as hot as it was very often. It was probably like 80 degrees Fahrenheit or 28 maybe Celsius, which is pretty darn warm. I wanted some ice cream, and there were a lot of vendors selling ice cream on the street. So I went up to a vendor and we each picked out an ice cream cone and opened it and started eating it. And I was licking my chocolate cone when I turned around and I saw a horse walk by, led by a lady. And this lady was trying to get people to ride it for money, ride her horse. Well, all of a sudden the horse stopped and it started peeing on the sidewalk. And I went to tap Katie's shoulder to say, like, "Hey, Katie, there's a horse peeing on the sidewalk next to us." She wasn't paying attention to it. And I accidentally knocked the cone out of her hand. Plop, splattered on the ground. And she had not even taken a bite out of it yet. And she was like, "Oh, you know, all mad at me for knocking the cone out of her hand." But I was like, "But you just missed it. A horse pissing on the sidewalk. There's a big puddle of it now. And it's walking away. It's too late." And she was like, "Yeah, whatever. I don't care." So she bent down, picked up the cone, and started licking it again. And I was like, "What are you doing? You're licking a cone that was just in horse piss." I mean, it was like 20 feet from the horse piss. But she's like, no, "I'll just lick around the horse piss." And so we were joking that she was going to get sick now from licking horse piss. So she ate most of the cone, threw away the bits that she was pretty sure had touched the ground. And we continued. We went to a restaurant, got some food. The meal wasn't very big, but luckily I wasn't starving at that point. And we continued. And we wanted to go buy some food for the next day for our train ride. So we went to the supermarket, and all of a sudden I just hit a wall. I had this really bad headache, and my eyes were just closing on me as I was standing there. And I was like, "Oh my God, what's going on?" I had to actually walk outside and just sit down and take a nap as Katie shopped. I just couldn't stay awake anymore. And afterward, I came back in and we finished shopping together, carried the food back to the hostel. And I took some ibuprofen and my headache went away. I was starting to feel a little bit better. Still, I was really tired though. So we just went to bed early. I was woken up at about 4 a.m. by a giant rumbling in my stomach. And I just went into the bathroom and emptied my guts out. All of it. I was like, "Oh no, this is not good." Diarrhea on the day before a train trip. That's all I was thinking about. Went back to bed, got up maybe an hour later. Same thing. Emptied it all out. I was like, "Oh no, this sucks." Went to bed, got up, more diarrhea. Went to bed, got up, vomiting. Both ends. It was all over. And I was just forced back to sleep. I was just extremely weak, no energy at all. So what caused this? I started thinking back, like, well, it's gotta be food or water, of course. We had been drinking filtered water from the river. Hopefully our filter was still working, but maybe that was the problem. Maybe it was my ice cream cone. Katie wasn't sick. She had eaten the horse piss cone. So that was one difference. She had drank the water, the same water as me. Maybe it was dinner, but I ate a pretty safe dinner actually. Or maybe it was that buckwheat that had been reheated. Something seemed off about it to me. I didn't really like the flavor of it. But whatever it was, I was down for the count. And so I spent all morning just lying around in bed and sleeping. And I got up at about 11 a.m. because the checkout was noon. And somehow over the next hour was able to pack all my stuff. Normally that would take like 10 minutes. and dragged my backpack out and just lay on the couch. And again, our train was going to leave at 6:16 p.m. So we had about, I think we wanted to leave at like 4:30 to walk to the train station. And so I wasn't even sure if I could walk at all, but whatever. We decided to split up. So I would sleep and just relax in the hostel. Katie would go explore the city. So I did that. I barely even lifted my head up all afternoon. All I could do was sleep. I was so out of it. Katie went out and explored, came back. I was feeling maybe a tiny bit better by 4:30, but not much. We ended up taking a subway to the train station, which I would never even think of doing normally. We would just walk there. But I wasn't sure I could walk there. And we got into the train station at about 5:15 p.m. with 1 hour to go on before we left. And we looked up at the board with all the trains on it. And all the trains said, the latest trains that were listed were for like 3:15 p.m. Like 3:15, but this doesn't make sense. It's 5:15. And then we're like, oh yeah, the Moscow thing, the time difference. And then we thought back, like, well, we accounted for the difference, right? Our ticket said that we were supposed to leave at 8:16. And so we had to go back 2 hours because it was a 2 hour time difference. So we were supposed to leave at 6:16. And then it hit me. Moscow is 2 hours behind Yekaterinburg, not 2 hours ahead. So 8:16 in Yekaterinburg is indeed 6:16 in Moscow. But we were supposed to leave at 8:16 Moscow time, meaning that we were supposed to leave at 10:16 Yekaterinburg time. We thought we had gotten to the train station an hour early. We had gotten there 5 hours early. We were 4 hours off of where we thought we were. Oh, man. I mean, I know there's no real great way to solve this time zone issue because, well, China has kind of done it. They only have one time zone in the whole country, even though the country's as wide as the United States. But of course, that means out in the west of China, the sun doesn't come up till like 10 in the morning. Russia has many time zones, but when you're using trains, they're all coordinated to Moscow time. So you have to do the calculations yourself as to the time difference, which can obviously throw people off like it did for us. So we were 4 hours off. I don't know what would be a better solution. Just use the local time, I guess. But then there's so many time zones in Russia. Who knows what the local time is half the time? Maybe they should list both times. Maybe that would simplify it. Although then it's listing two time zones, so it's more complicated in a way. I don't know what the right way is. This wasn't working for us, though, obviously. We had screwed up. At least we hadn't screwed up the other way around. If Moscow had been in the far east of Russia, we probably would have gotten to the train station several hours late instead of several hours early. Anyway, we ended up just... I couldn't walk around with my backpack still. I could barely move. So we sat there for 4 hours, which kind of sucked. But I did start to feel a little bit better. And I was really, really worried about this train ride because I did not want to have diarrhea on a 38-hour train ride. 38 hours, that's what it was going to be. After accounting for all these time differences, 38 hours. It's not quite the longest train ride I've ever done. The longest would be the one that I took across Australia, but it's pretty darn close. And it would encompass two full nights and a whole day in between. You don't want to have diarrhea on this train ride, okay? I had some antibiotics just in case. I was hoping I wouldn't need to take them. You don't want to overdo it with the antibiotics. But luckily I started to feel better. So we got on our train after 4 hours of waiting, found our compartment. And this train was third class. The previous trains we had ridden were second class. Third class wasn't so bad, though. It was pretty nice, actually. There's still only two beds stacked too high, but they add two more beds where the aisle would be in the second class compartment. So I guess the beds are a little bit shorter. There's no door closing you off from the rest of the car, but still, it was perfectly fine for me, actually, for both of us. And a lot of the beds were actually empty too. But across from us, there was a couple. And they were both pretty young. They both spoke, or the guy spoke a little bit of English. But it's funny what happens when you have a small vocabulary in a language, not a large one. You start using the same words all over and over again, and you use a lot of hyperbole. Like we were telling him about our trip from Helsinki to Beijing, and we're like halfway done with it now. And he kept saying things like, "Crazy life, you have crazy life, and you are heroes. You are both heroes for your travels, crazy life." At one point, he talked about the weather. This is pretty funny. He said, "In Siberia, we have 10 months winter. We have 1 month spring, 1 month autumn, 0 months summer." So I guess we had gotten lucky the last few days with the warm and sunny weather. That must have been the only summer we had. We actually noticed the trees were starting to change colors. Fall was already here at the very beginning of September. I was feeling a little bit better, but still just really run down and tired. So I had to excuse myself and go to bed after talking to these guys for a little bit. But they were yet another cool Russian couple that we met along the way. Unfortunately, we hadn't met anybody who really spoke good English for a long time, and we hadn't met any non-Russians since Moscow, so it had been over a week. So it had just been me and Katie just talking to each other and then having very limited conversations with people along the way. But you know what? That's a good time, though. It's good to do that every now and then. Clears your mind in other ways. All right, so the whole next day we were on the train. And I was dreading this ride before I got on, but now it was exactly what I needed. I felt much better, still not 100% recovered. Appetite wasn't quite back yet, but clearly whatever I had was passed through my system. No more vomiting, no more diarrhea. That was good. I just did a lot of reading. So did Katie. We sat there and watched the scenery all day, which is awesome. We were entering the Asian steppe, a lot of grasslands, a few forests scattered around here and there. The trees were, again, changing colors. I think they're going to reach peak color probably in a week or two, really early here. And then as we head south, we'll probably stay with that peak, which is an interesting concept. We're almost like leaf chasers at that point. Throughout the day, a few people got on, a few people got off whenever we stopped. But the train kept chugging along, and it ended up being an awesome, amazing ride. Not like adventurous, not exciting in that kind of way, but just a really great time to reflect on our journey that we were on, the journey we had done, and things to come in the future. So that night, we reached the city of Novosibirsk at maybe 11 o'clock at night. I realized going west to east, you're losing time as you move, because now the next city we're going to, which is Krasnoyarsk, is 2 hours ahead of Yekaterinburg. Yekaterinburg's 2 hours ahead of Moscow, so the days are a little shorter when you're on these train journeys. Still, it beats flying, man. They call it jet lag for a reason, not train lag. Train lag's not so bad. We had another night on the train after passing through Novosibirsk, and we ended up in Krasnoyarsk early this afternoon. Found a hostel, and that's where I'm going to leave you. It's been a week of ups and downs, mostly ups, though. Things are still going really well for us. We've got a ton more stuff planned in the next week. I hope you'll stay with us. Hope to get some more chats with other people on the show. As much as I enjoy talking to myself, it's always good to have company. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hope it was interesting for you. I'd highly recommend coming out here and taking the Trans-Siberian train. Really awesome. Who cares about politics right now? Whatever. Just drop it all. Forget it. Don't let that stuff consume your life. Just come out and enjoy it. Russia's awesome. All right, signing off. Until next time, I'll catch you later.